Hey guys, how's it going? My name is Joseph Fordham and this is NPLH In Conversation With, the football podcast that isn't about football, brought to you by NPLH Studio. NPLH is more than a podcast. Once you've hit the follow button, visit nplhmag.com to enjoy online reads, subscribe to our newsletter and browse our collection of magazines, prints and apparel. On to the show. Hello, I'm Joe Fordham and you're listening to NPLH. I'm speaking with Daniel Cobin, a commercial, lifestyle and sports photographer based in North Carolina. It's hard to believe he only began his photography journey 5 or so years ago, having made the switch from a career in marketing, yet it's the experience in that field which is often a useful tool in his approach to shooting now. Daniel is candid about his regular meetings with imposter syndrome and anxiety, which had him questioning if he even was a photographer a few years into the profession, and how that juxtaposes with an underlying competitive streak from his collegiate playing days, which drives the desire to create industry standard work with often limited time and resources. This is a conversation that any creative will either relate to or gain from. Before we start, a quick reminder that NPLH is more than a podcast. Visit nplhmag.com where you can enjoy online reads, subscribe to our weekly newsletter and browse our ever-growing collection of magazines, prints and apparel. NPLH is an independent ad-free platform and your support in whatever form keeps us playing. Enjoy the episode.
How's it going, Joe?
Yeah, good, mate. I'm actually sat looking out of the window on the other side of this screen at the quintessential British winter's day.
Oh yeah, nice and gloomy.
Very gloomy. I'm not sure about nice, but it's definitely gloomy. I'm hoping there's some sunshine in your end at least, so that one of us is having a good time.
Yeah, it's we're finally, well, slowly going to fall weather. We had a long hot summer here in North Carolina, and it was oddly warm last week for being almost mid-November. So, yeah, shout out to global warming, I guess. Yeah. But no, it's good. It's good. It's finally like sweater weather here, so I'm enjoying not sweating every time.
Are you a fan of that?
Yeah, yeah. It gets real hot here in the summer. Really humid to the point where you sweat through every piece of clothing you're wearing, even just stepping outside to the car park. And I'm ready for it to not be that way. So it's very, very enjoyable right now.
I noticed on your bio that I don't know how up to date your bio is on your website, but it says you first picked up a camera about 5 years ago.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. It's been a journey. I didn't really come from a background of creative work at all. Like photography just kind of started just on a whim because I realized I enjoyed it. I took like one bare bones basic 101 type college course where we were using some dinky little Canon PowerShot or I don't know. Took like 3 photos and the battery would burn out on you. But that was like the only thing I had really done. And then after that, I was like, oh, this is pretty fun. I should just buy myself a camera and try to learn more. So yeah, I don't know if it's 5 years, but that was probably six or seven now. When I was finishing up college, about 7 years ago or so. No, more than that. I'm losing track of time. 2020 was a weird like time jump for everyone, I think.
Yeah, there's an asterisk next to that one.
Yeah, yeah. So no, that's kind of how it went. I mean, didn't really study it at all. I went to school for marketing, started my post-collegiate career in marketing. But I was over the last seven or eight years, I've always had an interest in photography. And it's definitely crazy that it's like now turned into a full-time job and like a profession. Cause I kind of started off just like walking around college campus with my iPhone 3 and just building. but that's kind of like the origin of it. And it's definitely like grown from that.
It definitely has. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite a leap. It looks like quite a leap.
Yeah. It's, I'm very fortunate to have like had, some opportunities in place to like help like foster that growth. Just like jumping into it was terrifying. Every day, like still scary. Cause I feel like I'm just winging it and like people going to find out that I'm just an imposter, like the whole imposter syndrome. But I feel like I've had some really good opportunities to like have, some sort of resources around me to help just go for it. Or I've had like, you know, a freelance project that's helped me like gain some more experience. Or yeah, it's definitely been daunting, but I think I needed to do it. I needed to make that shift from marketing to photography to really like see if it's something that I could do at a bigger scale and like at a true serious level, versus in the past, you know, those first couple of years I was just like using my own personal camera that was not very good, and kind of just like hacking at it and seeing what I like and don't like. But quickly realized that it is something that I do like and something that I wanted to try to seriously go after, and like really put some time and energy into it. Because I think when you're just trying to do it like on the side and try to find like free time in between a crazy 9-to-5 job, like it's, you're not really doing yourself the justice that's needed for really going after it. So it's been a journey, but I'm again like very fortunate to have had like some opportunities fall in place and to have some somewhat of a support structure around me to allow for it.
It's quite a brave step to take if you're leaving what you essentially know and what you've studied to move into something that you are learning in real time. You've spent X amount of years in college kind of leading you one way, and you've just not canned it, but you've just decided to pick up something new, but then take the leap into following a different path whilst you're actually learning rather than doing the learning and then going down the path. What did that transition period look like from going from one into the other? And I guess, an extension, how did it feel? You mentioned some fear in there.
I think the good thing was I'm still with the company I was at prior to that shift. So it was just kind of an internal shift from departments, from marketing to creative. So I was really fortunate that they trusted me to do that. I think being in that environment made it a little easier, not only just like the human trust in it, but also having done some of that work, like prior to doing it full time, really helped on the transition. Albeit that work before wasn't like the greatest work I've ever done, but that was stuff that I was doing kind of like here and there on the side as like an addition to the full time job that I was supposed to be doing on the marketing and project management side. So, and I think you hear that from a lot of people who kind of like try to follow their passion. It's like you find the times and moments you can do it, in between maybe some other work that you're doing for a paycheck or for full time. So, that made it a little bit easier, but it still was really scary just like jumping into it. I mean, I like still to this day, I'm learning so many new things literally every day, new terminology, new, like new techniques. It's never ending. And so I think just kind of like jumping into it was the hardest part, just going for it. Especially for someone like myself who has, debilitating anxiety and, constantly like in my own thoughts. So I'm really proud that I just jumped and went for it. It really helped having people trust that I would settle in. But yeah, I mean, looking back at some of the work, even just like a couple of years ago, it's like, oh God, like, what was I thinking? Or why didn't I spend more time on perfecting that or this? But yeah, it was scary, to say the least. I just remember like trying to start with studio lighting and like having no idea what the heck I'm doing. But just kind of like, look like you know what you're doing.
That's a start.
Maybe at night. Yeah. Maybe at night I'm like watching some tutorials and taking some online courses and like trying to figure more things out. But, to be able to learn like as I went was really helpful and kind of like not have necessarily that pressure that I felt when I first made that jump, like every day. I think it was just an initial thing. And then, you know, every day after that, it's been a little easier. A little easier in terms of like finding an identity as a photographer myself. Like it took a while. Like I feel like I wouldn't have even called myself a photographer the first like year or two of doing that. But now I feel like it's, you know, got myself settled in. I've got my feet under myself and I feel like now I can comfortably say that I am a photographer and doing some professional work. So it's not a overnight process and it definitely wasn't in my case. That's for sure.
Rewinding back a little bit where you mentioned the anxiety that you carry with you, and coupling that with what you just said about not even feeling like you were a photographer for the first couple of years. And I guess that leans back into the imposter syndrome that you mentioned at the start of the conversation. That makes that step out of relative comfort all the more difficult. Like, you know, in marketing, you're essentially not faceless, but you're not kind of, your head isn't above the parapet, so to speak. And you've now chosen to put yourself in a situation where you are subject of your images aside, front and center, and there's a lot more high stakes arguably on your work because you don't get a do-over, so to speak.
Yeah.
So it's incredible that despite the like your what's the word, like disposition, your anxious disposition, you've found the kind of bravery to take that step. Does that tap into like a pursuit of personal development?
Totally. Yeah. I think rewinding back to like 2019, when I made that transition, it was right near the end of the year, going pretty well. And then the world shut down. A couple months into the job, it's like, one of the scariest times for a lot of us. And like, I don't know if I've still fully processed that time period of my life, but I think at that time, my anxiety was at an all-time high. And I really needed to like focus on my mental health. And it was really hard because like I was having to work alone and, you know, no one knew if they were going to have a job the next day and no one knew if their family members were going to be healthy and their community was going to be okay. So, I definitely saw my mental health take a big downward spiral that year. And, I think like even to today still, like focusing on getting that anxiety in check is like a number one priority. And, I think, yeah, it was, like I'm proud of myself for like jumping into it, but it's still something that is like an everyday struggle. And especially coming off of 2020 and, you know, the year or so after that, it's definitely tough working in an industry where you are kind of like you were saying, like your work is out there, your name's attached to it, or, you know, people have subjective feedback for for things that you complete and assignments that you finish and pass on for approval. And yeah, it's definitely tough at times, but I'd say like, yeah, especially over the last couple of years, getting my anxiety under check was a very, very high priority of mine. And it still makes things tough today. Kind of going on a little bit of kind of trailing off here. I'm not sure where I'm going with this, but more so like it's part of me. And I think I need to just keep working with it. I know it definitely is, it could hurt my career at times. Like I think in the sense of like, it's tough. It's hard to network sometimes for me. I think being in a space that's so like dependent on networking, and like person to person relationships, it can be hard at times. And so I definitely sympathize with anyone else who works in the creative space with that. But I am still standing, still going strong. And like, I think that's what I'm most proud of, is just like pushing through, making that jump initially, suffering and struggling along the way, but without any of those challenges, like there's no growth.
Yeah, that's very well put. That's a very good point. Have you considered that as you progress into your career, the more your body of work grows, the more that is a tool for you against the anxiety in a way? You've got a stack of increasing evidence to oppose what the intrusive thoughts have got to say. You know, thanks for the little unwanted message you've just transmitted there. But over here, I've got a stack of work that says otherwise, that I can do this, that I have done this, that I make bold decisions, that I can do commercial shoots, that I'm good at what I do, that my work is appreciated, etc.
Yeah, for sure. I think that definitely helps, and I need more often to do that. Is like sit. Like if I have that, you know, an intruding thought, like, hold on a minute, like I did really well last time a project like this came up, or hey, like there's a reason why I'm being paid to do some of this at times. And, but I think like that imposter syndrome, going back to that, everyone's favorite term. I mean, that's an everyday thing. And I actually was just reading a really good article, written by, I'll have to send you the link. I know I've got it saved in Substack somewhere, but it was, I think, a Dutch artist. They were basically saying, like, there's always going to be a gap between your taste and your current capabilities. And I thought it was a really good, I think you'd love reading it. It was really, really interesting. And like talking about how you try to like reverse imposter syndrome, and like, it's almost always going to be there in a sense, because you're always like, there's always going to be someone out there who's probably a little bit better at what you do, or they have a different upbringing or have a different environment around them that can foster quicker and better growth or have more resources at their disposal. One thing I totally don't have. but it was a really good article, and I actually read it like a few days ago, and it sat with me. And I pulled it back up this morning before our chat. So I'll have to send you the link, but it was really great. And so it's kind of comforting knowing that like it will always be there. And I think you just have to live with it. And literally everyone in the world deals with it to some degree. But your point about taking a look at ongoing or like existing work as kind of like a reinforcement tool, I think that's super important. And something that I like 100% need to do better at, because I have really high standards for myself, and just like my personality in general is to be a perfectionist, and that's not always healthy. Definitely isn't healthy in the creative space at times, especially when you're working under tough deadlines and tough conditions that aren't always perfect. So to create perfect out of a non-perfect environment, that's that's tough. Yeah, I got to send you that link. I think you'd really enjoy it, man. It was really well written. And yeah, that gap they mentioned, the author mentions in it, it's like always going to be there. So even if you grow and your capabilities get better, like your tastes are still going to grow with it and your expectations are going to grow with it. So like, it's just always, I don't know, it's always like an ongoing like path of growth, I guess.
An unwinnable, unachievable attainment of a goal, basically.
Yeah, but I think it's a good thing in the creative space. Like if you lose that drive, then you're comfortable and you don't grow. And it's something like I've noticed at times, like in some small periods of a year, like, oh, I need to go try this technique or like this lighting because I just like this last, you know, the last whatever X amount of time, like 2 months, it's been kind of rinse and repeat. So yeah, I think that's it's a good thing that like, if you notice that kind of internally, like, yeah, okay, you're on a good path. Keep going. And then if you get comfortable, like don't be complacent, kind of like pick up something else or try something new. So I think that's something I'm always like trying to be aware of. And I think is like anyone in the creative space is like important to kind of like keep your finger on that pulse.
Just looping back very briefly to the stack of evidence, a tool that I've employed daily for just over a year now to help with my own confidence is to write a daily win from my life. And it can be from the day before or earlier that day or from years ago, whatever. The aim being to just kind of reinforce my subconscious that I am a person that has done X or can do Y. I've not missed a day since September 2022 when I kind of hit this point myself where I was like, you know what, enough is enough. I feel like I deserve better than these extreme peaks and troughs that I'd keep coming in and out of. So I just absorbed as much as I could. I know we've not talked about football once yet. That's kind of how this podcast goes. I don't know if you've listened to me before. But yeah, I absorbed as much as I could around building and maintaining confidence. So it comes sometimes and you kind of just can't keep hold of it and you try and figure out what the secret is. It goes easily, it doesn't come back so easily. So yeah, absorbed as much as I could, and what resonated with me I just adopted into a daily routine, and one of them being listing the wins. And yeah, I found that over time it's given me the confidence to try new things, and those new things that I'm doing are stacking up like the pile of wins that we mentioned, that's just reinforcing the whole kind of belief system. And yeah, it's been a massive, massive help. I don't know if that's something that you've explored or what your routine looks like, but I can attest to its value in that respect. It's just like a little moment to turn up for yourself every day, you know, just to like remind yourself this is, and then when something comes along that doesn't necessarily go well, instead of kind of beating myself up like I normally would, you're rubbish, you should have prepared better, or this always happens, and that kind of narrative that comes up, it's more like okay, that's a shame, but there is evidence to suggest that that is just an anomaly, and we'll go again the next time. So I went off on a bit of a tangent there, but I thought it was worth sharing.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I love that. Do you write it like physically on like paper and pen, like same journal and everything?
Exactly. Yeah. So I go through every maybe 6 or 7 weeks a fresh book. But yeah, there's part of like a, I guess it's a daily not mantra, but there's like a checklist of things that I fill out, some things, some non-negotiables that I have to do every day. So at the very least, if the day has gone terribly, I know there are five things that I have done that are an investment in myself and my self-esteem or growth in some way. So it kind of helps you just push aside the crappy day, knowing that you've got those in the bank. And yeah, I think the analog approach is key to it. You're actually taking the time and paying the attention to doing it.
Love that. That's awesome. I love the term too that you use, is like turning up for yourself. It's like so important. The human body is incredible, and like you can control so much of your own like well-being, and obviously a lot of things are out of your control, but when you like can sit down and focus on yourself, like that's like you hear your own captain of the ship.
Exactly. Yeah, and it is easy to forget that sometimes, and it's those moments where you kind of just settle into, you know, you've got programming that you pick up from wherever and however, and when little or big moments come in, it's easy to revert to the default response, right? And then there's that sort of split, there's that moment where you can choose to go the other way. And you've done that with your career path, which is like, it's rewiring. You know, whilst you might not see the benefits every day, like it's going in there. You know, you've stepped out of your comfort zone and put yourself in a situation that was easier to avoid. You could have stayed at your desk and followed the marketing path, but you've chosen not to do that. And that's a kick in the face for all of the negative stuff that's going on inside there. It's like one little bolt taken out of the structure, so to speak, to topple it down. So yeah, that's, you know, there's a big win for you to log there if you take up that practice.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. That's a great way to approach things every day.
How does what does a shoot day look like for you with that in mind? Like, I mean, I know you've done a ton now, and there are a lot of moving parts in a shoot, I guess. So I guess, how do you, and I'm sorry, apologies if I'm kind of sticking to this theme too much and it's uncomfortable. If you want to change subject, we can. I'm just curious, because it is impressive that you're operating out of your comfort zone on a daily basis, you know? So yeah, what does a shoot day look like for you in that respect?
It's always a mess. So working in, yeah. It's working in soccer and sports in general, and you know, football, it's very rapid, like in itself, like the sport itself is never ending and there's so much going on. And then you factor in the retail side of things and the product cycles and, you know, all these different brands doing different things. So what that creates is just absolute havoc on the marketing calendar and creative calendar. So it's I'd say week by week, there can be some really busy weeks and then some slow weeks. But pretty much every week there's going to be some sort of a shoot, for some sort of a product launch or event. And I think for me personally, the only way to keep knocking things off the list is just be very, very pragmatic about it, which is, what I am as a person and how I'm wired. And I think that helps me have success in my role. And I think without that, like, I would have crashed and burned a year or two ago. Definitely would have. So I think, like, yeah, my recipe for success is being pragmatic, being organized, and kind of being ready for the absolute rapid, crazy, messy weeks of stuff coming ahead, because there's always changing dates and product launches, and there's always, you know, late samples from Adidas or Nike or whoever. And the only way to handle it is kind of like just expect that and just know that it's going to happen and kind of have some things prepared in place, whether that's pre-lighting something or sketching a set build or gathering supplies ahead of time. Because the timelines myself and others in our creative department are working on is not friendly whatsoever. Often, you know, 1 to 2 day turnarounds on things from start to finish. So that's like not a lot of time. And then you look at some of these bigger brands who are probably doing these, you know, obviously much larger scale things, but it's like they've got probably weeks to months and, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to hundreds of thousands of dollars to invest in it. And I'm stuck with like 24 hours on the clock and, okay, maybe $10 for some extra paper. Like, it's just not, it's never going to be the same world, but it's something I just have to live with and like try to be ready for those crazy hectic moments. And so I'd say, yeah, for a shoot day is always going to be different, but in general, it's always very last minute. It's going to be very rushed, and it's going to be lacking resources, whether that's like financial resources for extra help or props or whatnot, or just like human / like physical location resources. Like often that's not going to be a thing. Like I'm not going to have access to like a giant stadium with a beautiful pitch. You know, that's just not realistic for getting stuff done for some of our projects. But yeah, I think in relation to those work weeks, I think I'm most proud of like making the most out of the least. That's kind of how I always put it for what I work on for day-to-day stuff. I'd love to get into a place where I can grow a bit more and work on things with a bit more time and planning involved and more of a creative, like a more thought out creative approach. Work, you know, collaborating with a stylist or models who aren't just like local kids or, you know, other creatives in the local area to help build something a little bit more. But yeah, like I was saying, the week to week, day to day type stuff, it's just super rapid. It's pretty intense. And if you aren't organized and kind of mentally prepared for it, it could easily chew you up and spit you out.
Double question. Pragmatism and creative output are not two things that often go hand in hand. Has your previous role provided some useful conditioning for the position you now find yourself in? And do you think that the resources available to you are, although they're not ideal in all instances, are indirectly aiding you creatively because you have to think a lot more? It's just not there laid out on a table for you, so to speak.
Yeah, those are two awesome questions. Number one, totally, like having prior knowledge on the marketing side of things definitely helps. Like I can kind of subconsciously know like what requests might come or what's needed, or, you know, this asset is this dimension versus that one, or, you know, this paid channel would typically need this type of an image featuring these products. And obviously that information is shared, but I think just like having that banked from prior experience is super helpful. Not only internally on projects, but also when I've been on like athlete shoots and kind of like knowing how those might go based on like what a brand might be thinking or trying to capture, like just kind of knowing that side of things is just, maybe it doesn't reveal itself in like what I'm actually doing, but totally like in my mind, it's really comforting having that knowledge. And I think it's a huge strength for me. And I don't know how to like quite articulate it because it's not always necessarily like seen in what I am creating like physically, but I know mentally just like for me, it's helpful having that. I think I'm a little bit more at ease working, knowing kind of like the expectations from that other department and the other side of things, or how to tweak something maybe a little bit that would perform better for a certain social channel or things like that. So I think it's really like small things that bundled up is definitely a big strength. And then to your point about like resources, 100%. Yeah. I think it forces me to be creative. Like even yesterday I was working on a project in the studio that I was pretty happy with the results because didn't have any budget available. So I just ended up using like some colored seamless paper that I cut up and shaped and kind of used as accents for a product that kind of matched like the product vibe and theme. And that was done with a $0 budget. And I think like sometimes simple is better. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love to have more resources at my disposal. I desperately need new camera gear. Hopefully my manager can listen to that.
keep that bit in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Only been a few years of requests that have not been fulfilled. So, but no, you're spot on. I mean, I think like using those limitations to your advantage, like is a good way to go about it. And like, I think sometimes it forces me to think more creatively and just kind of like, you know, accepting that I'm not going to have access to whatever budget an Adidas or a Nike would have on a similar project. Like, okay, fair. Like that's life. That's how it's going to be. But how do I then use my own eye and whatever limited resources at my disposal? Like how do I create something that could be at that level? So I think that's always like my aim is like, what can I do to make something that would be potentially looked at as at a creative level for something that would be created at the brand level? You know what I mean? Like I think that's always my goal on a lot of the, like specifically to the day-to-day like product projects is like, how do I get to that point? How do I keep pushing myself to make something that could be seen as like, oh yeah, this was created by Nike, which sounds all fancy because they probably had, you know, whatever, $200,000 dedicated into this. Like just silly, silly money compared to me. Like, I'm like, can I get some like gas, like petrol reimbursement for driving to this location? So it's, yeah, I mean, it's just life. Like it won't ever be like, in my current role and how things are, like it's always going to be a challenge, but I think, yeah, you're spot on. Like how do you use that challenge as like a push for creativity?
You mentioned your eye there and touching back on the fact that you just picked up a camera in the region of 5 to 7 years ago, depending if we're counting 2020 as happening or not. That creativity and that eye that you've got and the creativity that you're honing and calling upon now to work within the constraints that you do, that's forcing that creative side of you to tick over. Has that side of you come as a surprise, given that I'm assuming there that there wasn't a creative outlet before you picked up a camera, and I could be way off. But is this a side to you that you didn't perhaps know before first picking up a camera in your last year at college?
I don't know if it necessarily was like a totally new discovery, but it definitely like, it wasn't like a track of my life really. No one in my immediate family is really like in the creative space. One of my brothers is a math professor and the other one is a writing journalist / reporter. So like, and then my parents worked in IT and tech and sales. So like, it's not, and finance, and it's not like this like large background in creative work at all. And so I don't know where, like how or where it came to be honest. I do remember like in high school, maybe like the last couple of years of high school, kind of like wanting to take an art class and, you know, realizing that drawing is not my thing, and like whatever intro graphic design course, like always loved branding, but like that wasn't my thing either. So like, I wish I had some of those files saved, just like the worst stuff ever. But I always remember like seeing stuff like that and kind of thinking like, oh, that's really cool. And so I think that's kind of like how it might've started, but I never was like on that track. And then in college, I didn't really know what I wanted to study. I really went there to play soccer for 4 years and like kind of just figured out what I enjoyed as I went. So I think there was like maybe deep down some awakening in a sense, but it really wasn't like a big thing at all. So I think I'm a little bit surprised like how quickly I've gained that creative eye, because it's not easy. It's something that's definitely like developed, at least from my experience, and something that's still like day to day, like changing. So I think I was a bit surprised by how quickly that kind of like turned into like a real burning passion. But I'm sure like deep down there was some sort of like rumble and awakening of sorts. But it's weird. Cause it's not, I just like don't have a creative background and family doesn't have a creative background. So I'm not really sure like where exactly that came from, but I think maybe the one thing that's been pushing is just love for soccer and, you know, having a lifetime of playing it, still playing it, played through, you know, at high levels, and just enjoy it as a fan in every sense. So maybe that like has been the one thing that's kind of like pushed it, and kind of like brought something out in me as well.
Just as you were leading up to talking about your playing, I was thinking, you know, you enjoy relish the challenge that comes with troubleshooting and getting the best out of the situation you can get. And I'm like, this sounds like there's a competitive streak in there. And then you say you play football to a high level through college, still playing. So maybe that's how this creativity and this eye has evolved as quickly as it has, because of the competitive streak that you've got running through you, which I guess has been developed over years of playing like a decent level of football.
Yeah, definitely. I've always been like super competitive too. And I think you're spot on with that. Like that's helped drive myself in kind of like all aspects of life. It's just like having that foundation as a very competitive person, a competitive athlete. And then I think you hear from a lot of people who, especially like stateside, a lot of student athletes will like really push themselves like post college playing days to like jump into whatever their passion or career is, and do it with a very like driven mindset. I'm very competitive. I have high standards of myself and also have high standards of those around me when I'm working and whoever's working with me. So, I think that like creative, side of things is probably pushed along too by a very intense, internal competitive nature.
Yeah. You've probably made a rod for your own back in terms of budgets. Most people would look at it and say, I can't work with this. And you're like, okay, I'll show you I can work with this. And you'll never get more money.
You can't get things done at the base level, then why would someone accept a budget request for whatever X, Y, or Z in the future? So, I mean, it's like, you got to just get it done and do it to the best of your ability. And there's going to be days where you got to just like check the box. And, you know, if that means you are getting a paycheck at the end of the week, I think that's totally okay. And something in the creative space that I wish more people would like not necessarily shut down all the time. I think like, you know, if you have a creative talent and it helps you pay the bills, so be it sometimes. So make sure you have like a creative outlet or a space where you can like keep growing alongside it.
What does playing look like for you now?
Oh, just washed up. Real washed up. Yeah. I just play adult league now in the area.
Are your knees made out of biscuits or are you still in pretty good shape?
That's funny you say that because I hurt my knee pretty bad a month ago. But it wasn't from me just being out of shape. It was a bad tackle. From an idiot. Yeah. But I played last night. It's feeling all right. Getting better. Slowly recovering. No, I just play adult league now. And first couple of years out of college, I probably tried to play, you know, at a decent level still on the adult league side of things. But I always knew, like, you know, college, I played at a Division III level. So I think going into it, I knew, like, yeah, this isn't like I'm not going to be playing professionally at any point in my career, but I wanted to play at a high level, but also focus on my academics. And so I think now, like in life, I'm just like, something to, you know, get my like pent up anger out and kind of like run it off and just have something to do during the week and, you know, play with some friends. And yeah, definitely not as competitive as I was a few years ago, and I've slowed down a little bit, but still trying to stay in shape and kick around every week.
I guess you've just found other avenues for the competitive streak and the drive to come out. And what you touched on there is the game now gives you a bit of community and connection, which is equally as vital when it comes to, you know, the points that we touched on earlier on with self-care, basically, right? Being around mm-hmm. people and engaging in a group activity, and that being something that you enjoy, is just as important as you know, what you put in your body or what you spend your time doing or what you tell yourself, you know. And it's it's great that the game still gives you that. It was giving you one thing through college, and now it's giving you an outlet in a different way, less about the kind of, not anger, but you know what I mean, like kind of the youthful exuberance that we have. And it's a way of getting a lot of emotion out of our body, and in another outlet for that comes, and you then find that the game gives you something rather than is used as a vehicle for you to release something.
Yeah, and I think even like taking that to the kind of like creative, just like general soccer world online too, is like talking to someone like you, it's incredible, like the people you meet, the connections you make, and like there's so many like digital communities around it too. And I think that's something that I've really, really enjoyed these last couple of years, is like meeting other creatives in the soccer space. And like, there's so many people doing their own thing. It's insane. It's like every day something new pops up, or someone's like doing a, you know, a new print project or a new photo project, or someone's working on some really cool thing for like a kit release for like a, you know, a lower level team in the States. It's like every day it's crazy, and it's awesome, and it's like so inspiring. And even just like seeing all the people you've talked to on this podcast so far, like there's so many of them that I just know, and I'm like, holy crap, like I know all these people. And then there's so many new people I'm discovering. I'm like, oh my God, like this person's off in Europe doing like these amazing photo projects, and like it's almost overwhelming, like how many cool things are happening and how many amazing people there are in the sport. And like, it's just super exciting to see, for just in general, but also like as someone in America who grew up just like not having necessarily that level of connection with the game, especially like pre-internet and pre-social media. And now it's like, holy crap, it's beautiful. Like it really is beautiful. It's a beautiful game. But then you see it happening in like my backyard, and I'm like, finally, like I knew it would get to that point. I was like, always deep down knew it would get to that point. And so like having that community, whether it's like in person or online or on social media or whatever, it's like that for me has been so special and is so cool to see. And maybe even cooler for someone over in the States, to really see that come to life where it hasn't necessarily been that in the past.
I love the confidence that football would always always kind of get to a certain point over there. Especially knowing that you're from North Carolina, my only sporting knowledge of North Carolina growing up was of One Tree Hill.
I thought you were going to say Michael Jordan. You took me for a spin there.
The Ravens.
Yeah. I'm from Wisconsin originally, actually, but I've been down here for the last 6 years. But yeah.
So you weren't around for that buzz. No. I lived vicariously through those characters for too far into my 20s than I should have done.
No shame. Yeah.
It was what it was.
Yeah.
Daniel, thanks so much for talking to me today, mate. I really do appreciate it. I appreciate how open and vulnerable you were as well throughout that. That's really appreciated. And yeah, thanks for trusting me with those parts of you. Really great to learn about your perhaps unconventional route into the industry, and how you navigate it and how you rise to the challenge. I'm sure that anyone listening to this will find some inspiration on there, be it professionally or personally. So thank you, mate.
Yeah, thank you. It was great chatting with you. The podcast has been awesome to hear. And like I was saying earlier, like so many familiar names and faces, and also like new people and subjects I'm finding out about through it. So I'm sure it's been rewarding for you. And like for us listeners, it's been awesome. Like just hearing from people I know or don't know, it's been really great. So I hope you keep that up and keep things rolling into next year. I
really appreciate that, mate. And there's plenty of people to speak to. So yeah, hopefully I can keep this going a little bit longer for you.
Yeah, for sure.
Take it easy, mate. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks. You too. Talk to you later.
Thanks for listening. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. If you haven't already, I'd love you to hit the follow button and forward it on to a friend. You can also find us on social media via @NPLHMag and subscribe to our weekly newsletter via nplhmag.com. See you next time. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. Don't forget to hit the follow button, and I'll see you next time.